Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
I think your play is embarrassing. The pro player thing, this is basketball.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pat. And on Facebook, at Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, streaming live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Wow, Matt. They did something. I can't even believe
it's
it.
It's awesome.
Holy.
You're speechless.
I don't even know what to.
I mean, I love it, man. I truly do. You and I were sitting here yesterday saying that Bulls fans always want something big and crazy to happen at the deadline, and rarely does it actually happen. The Bulls are more of an off-season moves kind of team than a trade deadline team. And for those reasons, we said, you know, that there are a few different avenues that they could go down if they wanted to make a move before the Thursday afternoon deadline, but they probably won't, right? But what did we say? What did I say yesterday? I said, if there is a move that makes the most sense for them that might happen, it will involve Bobby Portis and moving Bobby Portis. Lo and behold, that's what happened.
I told you, too, right at the beginning of that episode, for anybody who listened yesterday, right as we dropped it, and I know it was weird timing, that the Otto Porter news, the trade, hit literally at the same time as we dropped that episode. But right at the beginning, I said it was weird that there had been no interest, like no leaked reports about Portis's interest from any other team. And I said, that is very bizarre for the season Portis had last year, his restricted free agency, and the willingness for the Bulls, at least, to shop him around. That is very odd. That was very, very odd. And so sure enough, it meant two things. Either he was completely off the table and the Bulls were not willing to say that, or the Bulls were behind closed doors working on a deal and they just didn't want anything out to the media. And sure enough, it was the latter. We're going to give all of our reaction on this short episode, 25, 30 minutes here. We'll have a bunch of other content here in the next 24 hours, a couple different episodes for you. Quick reminder, 12:30 today, Central Time, on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball YouTube channel, going live on, for the first time ever, the Locked On Podcast Network live trade deadline show. Head over to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball YouTube show. David Locke, Josh Lloyd hosting the trade deadline special. Local experts from all across the country giving you the updates on all the trades that have been happening. Matt and I will pop on the show at some point to talk a little bit more in detail with the Wizards experts and also from this Bulls angle on the Otto Porter deal and what's to be expected. But Matt, a flood of texts.
Oh my gosh.
A flood. And it was telling you the voicemails. I'm sitting here with our voice and text message line open at the time that this happened, and I can hear the calls and the text just binging and calling in for like 2 or 3 hours straight. Give me your instant reaction when you saw this trade coming in. What did you think in your mind? What was the first thing I thought
was, great. The Bulls actually addressed the reality of their situation for once and made a smart move. I don't want to hear Bulls fans whining about Otto Porter's contract. I don't want to hear it. This is a good move that the Bulls just made. They addressed a position where they were sorely lacking and in desperate need of a competent player. We talk about how many minutes do we have to watch Shaq Harrison playing the three. How much are we trying to throw Chandler Hutchison in the deep end and make him our starting three after shipping off Justin Holiday, who was leading this team in minutes inexplicably for the first 40 games? Otto Porter Jr., is he overpaid? Yes. Does that matter right now? Not at all. compared to what the Bulls got in getting a guy of his services. You took a guy who they never should have signed in the first place in Jabari Parker with a bloated contract, used his humongous expiring contract, and you also took a guy, Bobby Portis, who we have said that's going to be a really uncomfortable restricted free agency negotiation this summer, one that they might want to avoid based on what we heard Bobby wanted last summer. And they took those two guys and turned it into one of the better 3-and-D two-way players in the league. Yeah, Otto Porter's battled a couple injuries recently. His three-point shooting is a little bit down this season compared to his previous two, where he was hitting over 40%, but he's still in the high 30s. He can bounce back from that. Most people in Washington I've talked to said he just needs a fresh start, and I don't care about the contract, because guess what? The Bulls finally recognized reality and said, we're not signing anybody of importance or significance in the summer of 2019. And the free agent class of 2020 isn't really all that much. There's not a whole lot there. So you think about the timeline of Porter Jr.'s contract coming off the books in 2021, heading into that next season, when maybe this Bulls team will actually be semi-decent and relevant. The cap space, or the salary cap, will have gone up 2-3-fold again by that point. The contract doesn't matter. The Bulls made a move to get themselves a player that they really need.
I understand that the contract is awful, and that's the sticking point I think a lot of Bulls fans have, especially more the optimistic Bulls fans than anybody else. It's like, why did you move Parker when he's going to be off the books this summer, and why did you move Portis when you've got a little bit of control and he is pretty cheap? So I get it from that angle. But like you had mentioned, and like we've been saying for the last 2 weeks, especially me, who's been saying you're going to strike out in tier one through tier three on all the free agents this summer. And if you're going to do that and go with this quote unquote cap flexibility and walk away empty handed anyway, like, I would rather see that than you go to free agency and sign Terry Rozier to something ridiculous like 4 years, $60 million, and get laughed at by the Celtics and say, have fun with that, with a guy that's a career 37% field goal shooter. Like, do you really want that? Like, is that a decision you'd be okay with the Bulls making? Or signing Jeremy Lamb to like $15 to $17 million per year for the next 4 years? Like, those are the realities you're gonna have to start facing if you go to free agency and start striking out on top names, because none of those guys were coming. The thing that I'm not overwhelmingly optimistic about this deal, Matt. I'm not pissed off. I'm somewhere in the middle where I'm cool on it. I think the thing that makes me a little bit angry about this is that they didn't get any type of pick compensation with this. Having to take that much money on for Porter, especially how desperate the Wizards were to save face about all the money that they owed him, all the money that they owe Bradley Beal, all the money that they owe John Wall that just got hurt. How do you not get a pick out of this? How do you not get a pick out of this? After looking at the pedestrian numbers that Porter has been putting up for them this season and even last season, and then you ended up giving away, although be it top 36 protected in 2023, a pick to the Wizards. How do you do that? That's where I just get a little bit angry about it.
I honestly could not care less about that, Jordan. Bulls fans whining about a second round pick right now, stop. This team...
It's fair to whine about it, though.
In the grand scheme of things, no, it's not. No, it's not. Because I swear to God...
How is it not fair to whine about that?
The fan base that is so ill right now and has to point every finger of negativity at this front office and complain about every single thing they do. And here come those, here's Garpak's defender version of Matt. I don't care. Say what you want to say to me. Here's what I have to say. This move is a good move. They got Otto Porter Jr., who is a very good player. He is a better player than Bobby Portis. He is a better player than Jabari Parker. Yeah, he's a little overpaid, but guess what? A lot of NBA players are overpaid. It doesn't matter. Don't talk to me about a second round pick in 2023. The Bulls addressed a very pressing need for the present and near future. Don't talk to me about a second round pick in 2023. Those same Bulls fans who still want to whine about Jordan Bell. Jordan Bell, who's not even in a rotation right now.
That has nothing to do about this.
I don't care about 2023 second round picks. I don't. Otto Porter feels a desperate, immediate need. So I don't care that the Bulls didn't get a pick back. I don't care that the Bulls were the team that sent them a second rounder 5 years from now. That is so little. It's like that is just pittance in the big picture of what they were able to do with this trade.
I understand what you're saying. I get it. And I'm not mad because I see the value in Otto Porter. I get what you're saying. He fills a need that the Bulls desperately need. He can shoot threes at a high clip. Shooting, what, 44.7% this year? Something around there? Can shoot threes at a high clip. Let's just put it that way. Can actually do that. Can defend decently on the wing and actually care when he wants to. 6'8", put him next between LaVine and Markkanen. Maybe needs a fresh start here. A little bit inconsistent, but only 25. I think the contract people are freaking out about because that's going to be a sticking point for the next 2 years. He's never going to live up to that in terms of what the stats are going to tell you and what he's getting paid. What we have to try to separate ourselves from is the money he's getting owed and the stats and his production. If we can try to pry ourselves from both of those and say, okay, if he can be a good player and help LaVine, Markkanen, Carter, and even if Dunn is going to be around here through this offseason and into next year, and help all of those guys grow and elevate, and also the draft pick that you're going to get, that's a good thing. That is a good thing. And look, too, we don't know what Bobby Portis is going to get paid this offseason. That's a main concern. And if there's a lot of other teams that are going to want his services, at some point, we have to be real about how much you can actually pay a guy to come off the bench and play 25 minutes a night and just score. He is a dominant scorer, and I'm not denying that. And I like Bobby Portis a ton and gonna miss him. But we've got two guys that are our focal points on this team that play that same position. And it's hard to pay a guy somewhere between $10 and $14 million a year to do that same thing.
I honestly don't understand these Bulls fans whining, saying they'd rather overpay to keep Bobby Portis than overpay and welcome in Otto Porter. Like, that makes absolutely no sense to me. Bobby Portis, great guy. You know, you and I will always be appreciative of how open and nice he was to us when we did our event with him last summer. Clearly, when you heard comments from his teammates in the locker room after the loss to the Pelicans last night, everyone is hurt by this. And that, to me, is the biggest loss that the Bulls suffered in this trade. Don't talk to me about Porter's contract. Don't talk to me about Jabari Parker. It is Bobby Portis as the unquestioned leader of this team on the floor and off. For all the talk we had this season about who's the leader, is it Fred? Is it Jim Boylan? Is it Chris Dunn? Is it Zach LaVine? It was Bobby Portis, by and large, according to his teammates, and those are the people you should believe. So that hurts. But do you want to overpay him to be the first guy off your bench? Or do you want to actually finally solve, at least in the immediate tense, and for the next two seasons, your glaring weakness at the wing? Why we're talking about Chandler Hutchison, Denzel Valentine's on the sideline with a boot, Shaq Harrison getting minutes at the three, the Jabari Parker experiment at the three immediately failed, like before training camp ended. You addressed that need. Yes, you're overpaying Otto Porter, but who would you rather overpay? Bobby Portis, a one-way player coming off your bench, who, by the way, next to Jabari Parker, is probably the worst defensive player on this team, or you're starting 3-and-D wing? Because to me, the answer is simple. I'd rather pay the starting 3-and-D wing.
Since we're on the Bobby Portis topic, and I feel like we're kind of going all over the place here, but since we're here, I want to mention this too. Bobby's a restricted free agent, and I don't know what this has caused now, because it seems like Bobby was shell-shocked, and the reports that we're getting, like, he didn't even kind of realize that he was going to get dealt. Like, even the quotes we were getting as far back as a week ago, Like, he didn't think he was going to get dealt. Here's the thing.
No.
Bobby could have stayed here long term. He could have signed that deal back in September. But he bet on himself.
Yep.
So part of me says that, like, that was part of rolling the dice, right? That was part of it.
Absolutely. Honestly, as soon as we found out that he and the Bulls were not going to get a new deal done at the tail end of last summer going into training camp, to me, it was the writing was on the wall. Because I did not think, and, you know, maybe it's pessimistic and mean of me, but to say that it's likely that Bobby was going to perform in a way that Jimmy Butler did as far as betting on himself and having a huge season after turning down an extension, I didn't see it as likely. We also didn't see it necessarily as likely as far as what Jimmy did after turning down an extension and betting on himself. That came out of nowhere. But with Bobby, look, and I don't know if it was Bobby's choice or if he was urged or pushed in one way by his agent Mark Bartlestein and Priority Sports, but to me, it was foolish of him to turn down that money. Based on what we heard, there was not even like around $10 million difference as far as what he wanted over 4 years compared to what the Bulls were offering, and the Bulls were still offering like over $50 million. To me, as a bench guy, it was not wise of Bobby to turn that down, and he put all sorts of risk into this season, and unfortunately what happened? He got hurt. Players get hurt. It's a sad reality of this game. But Bobby, and because of that, like it was pretty clear to me that he became a movable, expendable piece that was probably highest up on the what do the Bulls have that is of value coming into the trade deadline.
Before we get back to just Porter in general and what he can offer to the Bulls in general over the next 2 years, the last thing I want to say about Bobby Portis, restricted free agent this summer. I don't know what he's going to do with the Wizards, but his production, you know, he's got 2 months to showcase what he can do, and I think he's going to tear it up with the Wizards. I'm very curious to see what happens, but I hope they had a conversation with him, Matt. Like, I just look at everything that he's done, and like you said, he was kind of that leader, and he was trying everything he could since that incident happened with Nico. Whether you want to make the jokes or not, whether you want to judge him by that one incident or not, you're free to do that. You're free to do and have your opinion. I'm going to have mine, and I'm going to judge
his character. It makes you a cheap comedian. You're free to do it, but it makes you a cheap comedian. I'm sick of those jokes. I truly am.
And you're fine. Everybody's allowed to have their own opinion, and that's cool. But I can have my opinion too, and I'm judging his character, and I think the dude flat out is a class act, and he's got great character. I've talked to his high school coach. I've talked to his college coach too when we did the event. And everything people have said about him has been nothing but class. And the saddest thing of it all, Matt, when I was going back and watching some of the videos, and for everything that's gone viral on social media, the Bulls have 4.1 million followers on Twitter, on Instagram. They're one of the biggest social media followings in all of sports. I was looking on YouTube. Back 1 year ago, he did a really nice thing, a really nice charitable thing for a single mother and, you know, bought them all these Christmas gifts, redid their entire living room, new furniture, all of this stuff right around Christmas time. That video, a year from now, 12 months ago, only has 3,500 views. So little things like that never get out. Bobby came from a really tough situation, and he talks about that in the video. So, whatever you want to think about him, but the dude works hard, and he's tried to emulate that and tried to make up for that mistake he's made. And I think they've lost a leader in that locker room by making this trade. And I don't know if this has pissed Bobby off now and soured tastes with the Bulls or not, but
it's gotta hurt.
Yeah.
It's got to hurt. He said he wanted to be here long term. He said he wanted to be a Bull, you know, his whole career. He just felt like he had Bulls DNA. You know, he wore the Bulls jersey with pride. Yeah. You know, you can make your Jim Boylan jokes if you want to. But there is absolute truth in that, which is why, going back to his decision last summer, he could have been here long term.
Right.
If he were willing to settle for a slightly smaller contract, but still a pretty handsome payday for a bench guy. Like, that was his choice. So, you know, I'm not absolving Bobby of all responsibility here when he is broken up and disappointed that he just got dealt. Part of that's on him and that decision he made a year ago. However, you're absolutely right in that he is a big loss for this organization. You heard Zach LaVine last night in the locker room say he's our glue guy. It's the same thing that Tom Thibodeau said about Luol Deng back in the day, the last time this Bulls team was actually really darn good, and how Luol Deng may have been undervalued on a nightly basis and wasn't pouring in, you know, filling out box scores, but glue guy. Hugely important glue guy. Zach LaVine used the exact same phrase to describe Bobby Portis. Talking during postgame, Stacey King, who is around this team constantly, travels with the team, and has gotten to know these young guys, the new roster of this rebuild, said that Bobby Portis took the mantle from Joakim Noah as the spiritual, emotional leader, vocal leader of this team. And, you know, Stacey knows. He's around these guys. He can sense that. And we all know how hugely important guys like Luol Deng and Joakim Noah were to the success of that team from, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago. Bobby, by all accounts, is that guy. And that is the biggest bummer of this. But again, part of it's on Bobby. If he really wanted to be here long term, he could have, maybe should have, signed a deal a year ago.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, that's just where it goes back to having to be fair on both sides, you know? That's why I brought it up, so we'll see. He's a restricted free agent, so we'll see what the Wizards want to do with that. Let's go back to Otto Porter, though, for a second. The freak out about the money, and maybe it just comes from a position of what you thought that they were going to do in free agency. I want to ask Bulls fans, and maybe they can shed some light on specifically maybe the ones that are mad about this deal. I'd like to know more about who they thought the Bulls were going to go after in free agency. Like, seriously, now that we know where a lot of the top free agents are considering going, either re-signing or signing with this season or even next year, who did you think the Bulls were going to get and use that money on? Because really, even if you freed up all of that money, you only had money for one max level contract. Who was coming here? Seriously, like 100% dead serious, who was coming here?
Nobody on a max contract, that's for sure. Which is why, and it's kind of something that I was saying last night, it is, Bulls fans should try their best to look at this trade as essentially this upcoming offseason's free agency move. They got Otto Porter Jr., a player of greater impact than anybody that they could actually get a meeting with and convince to come here next season on what is still a rebuilding young team that right now in February has 12 wins. 12! You're not attracting a whole lot of free agents. We're not even going to talk right now about the whole, is there some stigma around the Bulls and this organization? It's losing culture and a lack of trust of ownership in front office, and that's why people don't want to sign here. That's a conversation for another day. This is a team that has 12 wins in February. Stop right there when you're talking about signing max-level guys. Ain't going to happen. So, to their credit, we always talk about, and we talked about it earlier this week, would you rather see the Bulls front office realize the reality of their situation, perhaps correct a previous mistake, and make a proactive decision to better themselves for the present and future? Because that's what they did with Otto Porter. They recognized and admitted to themselves that for all they talk about, oh, cap flexibility this, financial flexibility that, we love our flexibility. It's like Gar's a gymnast, for crying out loud. They knew. They saw the writing on the wall. They knew nobody wants to come here this summer. They addressed a glaring weakness of the roster and did something about it with that money that, as you said, Jordan, wouldn't have been spent any other way. That's why that they ended up paying Jabari Parker $20 freaking million when they didn't need to. look at this great flexibility. Michael Reinsdorf even bragged about it. Oh, like all of our great financial footworking and our short-term deals, and that allowed us to sign Jabari last year. Cool. How'd that work out? This one actually has a potential to work out because Otto Porter is a fit and fills a need, whereas Jabari didn't. You overpaid a guy who didn't fit into your roster at all. Oh, and by the way, was a one-way player. This, to me, is so much better.
I don't like
that.
The idea of spinning it as this is essentially a free agent move. That, to me, that's
but
not
that's
a
what
good
it is.
Way to spin it, though. Let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Why?
Because 2 years, $56 Why? Million, if we're going to talk about it like that, that does not sound good. That doesn't sound...
You know who gets overpaid? Free agents!
I know, but like 2 years, $56 million for Otto Porter does not sound really good, especially because you let Jabari go, who like not a big deal. You didn't spend the money on Portis, fine, but 2 years, $56 million. If the Bulls did that in free agency, I think there would be a freak out for
okay,
that.
No, but that's not what I mean, Jordan. I'm just saying... Bulls fans constantly whining and complaining, say, oh, we're not going to get anybody in free agency, or you're delusional and think we are. That's the situation. That's the reality of where we are right now. So instead of whining and being upset a few months from now when the Bulls do nothing in free agency, look back at this trade and say the Bulls realized where they were headed and made a proactive decision to do something. To add talent to their roster in a way that they might not have been able to do with all that great financial flexibility that they would have had on their books had they not made this move. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying pretend Otto Porter is a free agent signing. I'm saying they realized they weren't going to be able to get a player of his caliber in free agency, so they made a trade instead. How do you add talent to a roster? You draft it, you trade for it, or you get them to sign a free agency. The Bulls are lottery bound again, and they realized the gravity of their situation as far as adding talent free agency not being a reality, at least mid-tier free agent kind of talent. So they did something about it.
That makes sense, and that's where I go back to.
That's what
yeah,
I mean.
That's where I go back to. Like I said, Matt, I'm not dancing in the streets about this one. I'm also not burn it all down. I hate this team.
I am.
You really are?
I am. Are you kidding me?
You're like celebrating
yes.
about this? I'm shocked.
Yes.
I'm actually shocked that you
Absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely.
Really?
Okay, well, first and foremost, let's recall how much
I know about the Jabari thing. So maybe that
Jabari
yeah, maybe that is thrown
began.
In there. So I am.
That is definitely a factor. But dude, it is Otto Porter Jr. is an above-average NBA player. People knocking him for one Shaq in a full moment, like, you know, a vine of him not watching his defensive assignment, making a back cut. Shut up. Like, all of those people who are, like, already throwing that all over Twitter, be like, oh, yeah, great defensive too. Player. Educate yourself. That was one play years ago. He is a good two-way player. He is a better overall player than both of the players that the Bulls just sent away at the team's maybe second biggest position of need, which now obviously glaringly is point guard. But they had two very big positions of need, and they filled them. And by the way, once again on the money, outside of Zach LaVine, who is on a pretty team-friendly deal, and, you know, we can laugh about Felicio still having two more years and $16 million, whatever. That's not... like, it's not a good deal, but it's not the end of the world. Everybody else is on rookie-scale deals. So Otto Porter making 28 and, you know, 27 and $28 million the next season, the season after, is not that big of a deal. Cap's going up to 109 next season. It's going to go up probably to 118 or so in 2021. The Bulls, will like, this Porter Jr. deal is not going to hamstring them in any way that Bulls fans are terrified that it will right now. The year that his contract comes off the books, 2021, maybe by that time this Bulls team will actually look respectable enough to be players in free agency. His money will come off the books. If you want to sign him to another vet deal at the time when he's still, you know, 29 or however old he'll be there, you can do that. And in the meantime, maybe your 2018 draft pick, Chandler Hutchison, will have grown as a player and a bench player at that wing spot, and you feel comfortable letting Porter go. All of those things can happen over the next 2 years, but in the meantime, when you're talking about building a team that doesn't royally suck and only has 12 wins in February, Porter addresses a need, and that's why I am giddy about this. The money doesn't matter, and he fills a need.
There's a couple other things I want to talk about, but just back to the draft pick thing, and it doesn't even have to go with the picks either. Like, I was just telling you, and I was telling a couple other people that were asking about this, I guess I would have liked to see the Bulls get something a little bit more from this just from having to take that money, because the Bulls had all the leverage in this deal. All of it. All of it. All of it.
Did they?
They did. They did.
Offering Bobby and Jabari?
Yes, because Jabari cuts $20 million off of their... The Wizards needed to desperately get back down to get under the luxury tax, you know?
No, I get it. Yeah, I mean, we did them a solid in the fact that they are now paying way less luxury tax money than they would have. And certainly John Wall and his ruptured Achilles that came out of nowhere played a factor here. Because I don't think this deal happens if John Wall's injury isn't revealed like it was a few days ago.
That's true.
But now, like, the Wizards all of a sudden were a team grossly into the luxury tax, going nowhere, like struggling to make the playoffs on a weak Eastern Conference with their best player hurt. Or, you know, if you want to say Beal is, then whatever, their second best player hurt. That's why they decided, all right, something's got to happen, you know, and they made subsequent moves. They also, you know, sold off Markieff Morris last night after the Porter deal. So, I mean, I get it. I understand that you might be a little frustrated saying you think that the Bulls had leverage there, but at the same time, yes, he's on a bad contract, but the Wizards' leverage was dangling Otto Porter Jr., who was a very good player.
It was nice to see the Bulls actually realize that they could put protections on picks. And who knows, like you said, who knows what the 2023 pick will actually end up being. Like, that's 4 years down the road. Right. Who knows what it'll be.
On Mars by then. Like,
I know
honestly,
the John Wall thing was a huge factor, but another name that I was like, maybe they could have thrown him in, but he is an important part to what they're doing. But he is going to be a free agent at the end of this season, and it's a guy that, frankly, I want the Bulls to target this offseason. Tomas Satoransky. Like, that would have been a guy that would have addressed another need on this team desperately, and it would have gave you a good look at a point guard who plays hard and does exactly what you need for a month and a half, and take a look as he goes into free agency this summer. But they need somebody to play there, and now that they're right, going to be under the limit this year, like, they might actually pay him come summertime now.
I think that's what the Wiz are looking to do and why they were so desperate to get off Porter's money, because now with John Wall on the shelf for what most people expect to be the entirety of next season with this Achilles tear, you're talking about needing a person to fill that role and having a guy on your roster who has looked pretty good as a young role player in this league. And I think that they are going to use some of that cap relief from Porter to pay Satoransky to stay. I think there are a couple of young pieces the Wizards have right now that they would very much like to keep. And I think, and I'm with you, like, I would love it if the Bulls would be able to get in play for a guy like that, or if he could have been somehow included in this deal. That would have been, idyllic. But I think the Wiz are keen on keeping him, especially now that they got the news on John Wall.
Like I said, I'm sitting kind of just like in the middle. Like, I'm cool. I'm sad to see Bobby go, but if Bobby's not super pissed off about what the Bulls just did, and hopefully there was a conversation that was had before they dealt him, I don't know if that's fact. Maybe there's a conversation to be had this summer. I don't know what Bobby's value is on the market, in an open market on restricted free agency. And look, if the Wizards got money this summer and he plays well, that might be something that they're going to look at re-signing him for. So we'll see. It'll be interesting, but Bobby felt comfortable here in Chicago, so that could be an option if it's cheaper. You know, I said $6 to $8 million is something that would be affordable for the Bulls, but anything after that just doesn't make any sense for here in Chicago. Matt, one other thing that is something that I want to squash immediately about this deal, and it plays into the NBA draft this summer, and I want to squash it right now because it will make me livid if this is the narrative that's going to play out for the next 3 months. The Bulls need to take the best player available. Not the position they need. They need to take the best player available in this draft. The draft class is weak. Outside of Zion, if you don't get the number one pick, you need to take the best player available. I don't care. So don't tell me if you get the number two pick, you're going to pass on. If Ja Morant isn't the number two prospect in this draft class across the board by everybody, don't reach on him just because you need a point guard. And already, after 4 hours, I've heard half a dozen people already starting to make this pitch, man. I can't do this for 3 months. And I don't want to hear that.
Of what? Like John Morant.
Yes, because
over Zion?
The Bulls can fill that position now that we have Porter slotted in at the small forward. Like, don't do this. Don't do this. Please don't do this, Bulls fans and analysts. Yeah. Don't do this.
No, well, you know some will. You know some
this
will.
This will drive
you know some
me
people.
Nuts.
I mean, I just spent 20 minutes talking about how Otto Porter Jr. desperately fills a need that the Bulls were desperately lacking with the wing spot. So, yes, some people will look at this draft and say, oh, man, like what all this Bulls team really, really needs is a young, exciting, athletic, versatile point guard who can score, who can facilitate, and maybe Ja Morant is that guy. So if you get the number one pick, don't feel like you need to take Zion. Some people will say that, Jordan. You're like your pleas are going to fall on deaf ears. I understand what you're saying. I'm just telling you, there will be people advocating for that. Let's wait and see where the pick lands. But in the meantime, of course, I am with you. If the Bulls get the number one pick, for the love of God,
no, it's not even about the number one
up.
Pick, though, Matt.
It's Zion Williamson.
Obviously, you would just be an idiot if you didn't take Zion number one. You'd just be a total idiot. It's about after that, though. Like, if Ja Morant is really at, when we come to draft night, and it is consensus, he's number two on the board, fine. Like, that's the guy. That would be best case scenario. Bulls need a point guard. That's your guy. Let's take him. But if it's like, okay, Ja Morant's the fifth best player in this draft, and the Bulls are slotted at number two, and just because the Bulls are desperate at point guard and don't have somebody there, but because we traded for Otto Porter 3 months back and we're like, okay, we've got a guy there, and we drafted Chandler Hutchison last year at number 22, we'll just reach on Ja Morant because he's there. Like that to me just doesn't make any sense. And I'm not saying Ja Morant's not going to be a good player, because he may be. I just want the Bulls to take the best player available in this draft, regardless of position, because you can't do that right now, you know?
Jordan, I'm with you.
I'm just saying
that.
In general.
What I will say, though, is if the Bulls don't luck into number one, and the answer is clearly and obviously, without a doubt, Zion, if they are 2, 3, or 4 and end up taking Ja Morant because point guard is still very much in need, the rest of the even lottery-level picks in this draft are kind of blah, and I would not be upset about that. Like, you know, some might say, oh, you know, I believe R.J. Barrett is better or has a better, brighter NBA future than Ja Morant, or some may even believe that Cam Reddish would. I mean, I would take my issues with that. That's not for today's show. I'm just saying the need is there. If the Bulls don't get number one and end up somewhere 2 through 5 and believe that Ja Morant can be their point guard of the future and the rest of the talent there is meh, Yeah. Take a gamble on John Morant. I would have no problem.
It just
problem
comes
with
down
that.
To I want the Bulls to take the best available player at their pick, regardless of position. That's where I'm at. Take the best player available.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I think in knowing what we know now and knowing that we just got out of Porter Jr., there is clearly one huge blind spot on this team, on this young core right now, and it's a competent modern point guard. Chris Dunn ain't it. You know, Chris Dunn had a good game last night, decent game, but I'm done. Like, they need to continue to address that situation and find their point guard of the future, because I don't think it's done, and it's not campaign.
Ja Morant and Darius Garland are the only two guys that are headlining the point guard position in this draft. This draft is littered with wings. Littered. You know, like, just because you filled the wing position right now with Hutchison last year in the draft, and for right now, Otto Porter Jr. is starting at the wing position, doesn't mean that you don't have to take RJ Barrett or any of the other wings at the top of the draft. I just don't want the Bulls to get hell-bent on having to look at their starting five and say, well, we don't have a player to fill in there, so let's reach on Ja Morant because he's in the top five of some guys' boards, but he may not be the best player, but we need to fill that position, so we'll reach on him, even though he may not be the best guy available.
May not necessarily do that.
That's where I sit.
We've also heard that one of their potential plans is to bring in a veteran point guard on the fringes of free agency and bring that person in to challenge Chris Dunn for the starting spot and maybe shift Chris Dunn to the bench, whatever. There are options around. Clearly, point guard needs to be addressed. It sounds like the Bulls are aware of that and planning to address it. I am not concerning myself right now with the Bulls reaching on Ja Morant. That is a worry for 3 months from now, man. I am just going to actually enjoy for a second that they made a trade that makes sense and helps the team moving forward.
No, I know. I'm just saying this factors into it too, though. I just had to bring it up because I heard it a couple different times today. And it goes beyond Ja Morant. It's not just about him. It's the point guard position available. It's that addressing that
need. I know. I hear what you're saying, man. Best available over need. Okay. I hear what you're saying. Talk to me about that in April.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of time. Anybody who's listened to the show a year ago, we spent like a month and a half just going through prospects, and we talked about endless prospects and just up and down the draft board. So, well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. We're going to dive through all of your text messages, your voicemails, on top of Jim Boylan and John Paxson are going to speak. Jim Boylan and some of the players at practice after they're done around 11:30 noon today. So we'll hear that because they were not allowed to talk, although Zach LaVine kind of broke that rule last night post-game. Jim Boylan did not speak, but we'll talk about that on an episode coming out either later today or early tomorrow morning. Either way, you'll get that. So if you want to be a part of our conversation, you want to hear your voicemail, your text message read on the show, drop that for us at 331-979-1369. John Paxson supposed to make his media rounds either later today, early tomorrow. We'll find out. Either way, we'll have all of that and break that down tomorrow's episode or early next week. So drop all of that, 331-979-1369. You can hit us up on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Follow everything we're doing at the Locked On Podcast Network as the time continues to tick down. The trade deadline just a few hours away here. Thanks for sticking it out with us here. Changes are being made here with the Bulls, and I'm sure, you know, barring anything crazy, we said this before on the last episode, but barring anything crazy, I think the storm has just about ended. But we'll see. Thanks for hanging out with us here at Locked On Bulls. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com